is for all the hollow men. No, it's not true. Tomorrow is All Saints' Day. Tomorrow is the day when all the saints, like St. Agnes of the Brick House and St. Rosemary of the Bush and St. Rita. Do you know the story of St. Rita? Do you know that St. Rita appeared home one day and she had a thorn in her head? This is true. I got this directly from the lives of the saints. She had a thorn in her head and her mother said, "Rita, take the thorn out." That's a normal thing for a mother to say. She was concerned. Have a little chicken soup and take the thorn out. Rita said, "No. This is from the original Crown of Thorns."
It's Bob Dylan at the Met.
Hear Bobby singing Oreos from Scorsese, Coppola, B-Day, all in Barbarian and German. It's just like the 60s. You can't understand a word Bob is singing, and that's when he's at his best.
It's a beautiful album with pictures of Bob wearing a turban, a cowboy hat, a yarmulke, and a crown of thorns.
"I'm not going to take it out." And her mother said, "You're weird." And the next day, it became infected, and it festered, and 5 days later, she died in ecstasy, and she... straight.
I thought it was Sheboygan.
Yeah, she died... Well, ecstasy is the suburb of Sheboygan.
I see.
Geographically, she died 5 days later, and she was made a saint for this. So if any of you find yourself in the morning with a thorn in your head, let it fester. If you want to be praised on All Saints Day, which is tomorrow, November 1st, I would suggest, if any of you want a really kind of wild trip, right? If any of you want a really wild trip, read the lives of the saints. Because you get some really beautiful people. For example, Saint, the guy that wrote all those philosophies, early Christian philosophies?
Aquinas.
Saint Aquinas, right. Saint Aquinas weighed over 250 pounds. And in order to become a saint, you have to have a miracle. And so he died, and everybody wanted to saint him because he was such a, you know, very, very heavy intellectual cat. And he'd done so much for the cause, and they didn't know what they could do for him, and they had to come up with a miracle. And you know what they came up with? Levitation.
"You must be way out there, Pastor. Over."
"I'm high, all right. But not on false drugs. I'm high on the real thing. Powerful gasoline, a clean windshield, and a shoe shine. Over."
"He's turning over!
Get thee behind me!
Are you in danger, Pastor?"
"I'm all right, Roger. Just a little argument with my co-pilot. And guess what, Rog? The little red needle's pointing to E. And while that's always stood for excellent in my book, I guess it means I'm out of gas. You'll have to sing me and my friends, my favorite, hymn 1517.
We're marching, marching to Shibboleth with the eagle and the sword. We're praising Zion till her death, until we meet our last reward, our Lord's reward.
Zion, oh happy Zion, all wrapped but not detailed.
Lion, oh ferocious lion, his beard our mighty mane.
At first and day,
oh, we'll go marching, marching to Omaha with the buckram and the corn.
You'll hear us boom a state,
ha ha, as we cross the final ford,
the flaming ford.
And now it's time for that wacky feature, Dinner with Jerry. And we'll take you now to the ex-president's home in Palm Springs,
more
California.
Of this line, Chateau Zeus 69.
Thank
here, have
you,
a little
Mr.
bit.
President.
I'm sorry, I spilled some of that on your
hat. My pants are already wet.
Oh, all right.
From laughing at your jokes.
Well, Henry, I invited you here for dinner because, as you know, I am running and chewing gum at the same time. For president.
Yes, I know. I came to tell you that.
Yes, I know that.
All right.
Would you like some more gum? Here.
No, thanks.
You
I
can
can't
have this one.
I don't
I've
have
already
that talent
it
for eating and chewing gum at the same time. So you... Oh, we're stuck together now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it is sticky, isn't it?
It's all right. My hand likes it down here on my wet pants.
If I am elected...
Oh, yes. What do you, are you going to want me
to
do?
Or let's just say appointed again... I would like you to do what you did before.
Bomb Cambodia.
No, I don't think that's a good idea. There are too many boat people there right now.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yes, it was. But I think we ought to come up with some new ideas. Have you got any?
Bomb Iran?
Possibly.
Or just crash some parties around Georgetown.
That sounds like a good idea.
There are some great-looking girls now since Elizabeth Ray has left town.
Have you finished your soup? Perhaps I could move that.
Just spill it right here.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. This is really good.
Betty?
Oh, is that her name?
Betty?
Yes?
Would you bring in another couple of bottles of wine?
Oh, just a moment, Jerry dear.
I don't think you should toss over that wine.
Oh, no, it's all right. They're firmly corked and they have seals on them.
Oh, I see. I understand she and Billy Carter have been meeting each other lately.
Listen, let's not stay here at the dinner table. Let's go into the other room. I don't think there's a bug in there.
Okay.
And we can talk more
probably. Would you fall over my chair here while you go past? Thank you, Mr. President.
Zion, almighty Zion, your vice and now are dust. As your cornflakes rise, gives the rust red skies, then our blood requires us must go.
Marching, marching to Shibboleth, with the eagle and the
buckram and the bow,
sword, praising Zion till our death, until we eat our last reward.
The baby cord,
Zion, a righteous Zion, there is no one to blame for the homespun pies, neath the curtain.
Hey, you guys. Just at the age when you're looking for an interesting and exciting career in the military, get into the sky where they can't find you. Higher than you've ever been before, behind the border, as a proud member of the free Mexican Air Force.
Yes, skimming low out of border canyons and across below sea level salt flats, you'll be jockeying the big birds, B-25s, flying uncounted tons of contraband into these United States.
Yes, spreading Mexico's natural resources is a really fine job for any young man of military age. So take off with guys like me in the free Mexican Air Force.
That's true, man. Somebody comes, yeah, I saw the cat levitate, man. It was late at night. And he was, you know, it's true. What'd you say?
What did I say?
Yes.
I said raise the level of the house, monitor, please.
Yes, why don't you just raise the level of the house? That'd be fine.
Let's levitate it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do that later.
Now, that's November 1st, tomorrow, All Saints Day. The next day...
That's tomorrow or something like it.
Right.
Right.
Tomorrow...
See, when this show goes out to Sheboygan, which
St. Rita's town.
Which is just outside of St. Rita.
Yes.
Why, when it gets there, you see, it'll be Halloween Eve, because it'll be very carefully scheduled and programmed, so this program will actually reach...
Hey, tomorrow is not November 1st, is it?
No! Oh, my goodness, he understands that!
Hey, well, I've been caught up in the gate at the moment. Why'd you tell me? He didn't. I figured it out. You're right. It takes that long to get out there. Okay, go ahead.
Anything you say, Peter.
Yeah. Anyway, the day after tomorrow, which it isn't, but when it will be, it's called November 2nd. And that is All Souls Day, when everybody gets into the game. And when we, you know, say thank you for the fact that this earth has been assigned the great number of really groovy souls that it has. When we say thank you for giving us this trip, this horrible nitpicking earth trip, and why can't I get to Jupiter? But we'll be hearing more about that later. And this is, as you know, the Day of Superstition. So let's start the whole thing off, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Magic Mushroom. 11345 Ventura Boulevard. It's the only running gag we're going to have all night, right?
What a bummer.
Now hold it up to the light.
Oh, okay.
He was right. This was serious. Light. Too much light. More light than I'd ever seen. It seemed impossible and just too easy that this amiable Zip had discovered what we'd all been looking for years. The drain, the big leak, the place where it all goes in and doesn't have to come out.
I cannot see.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
Look out for me.
Feel all about it.
Hey, you don't have to yell. We're standing right here.
How do I know? I'm blind. I can't see you.
Oh,
may
God.
I proceed?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
go legendary on. Bad guy Rocky Rococo faces police Sar Bradshaw in mayoral toss-off. Pledges to track mud across clean city platform. X3.
I could have gotten all that information at firesigntheater.com. Keyword, blind newsboy.
X3. Phone rings in distance. It's Nix.
Hey.
You won't find that on the web, smartass.
Oh, yeah. I ought to give
go
you
ahead.
The hot kiss at the end of a wet...
Newsboy. Put him up. Where'd he go?
Gone. Nobody
he was
there.
Gone.
Oh, where'd he go?
Where, thank you, Jesus. Where did he go?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Where did he go? Oh, that's right, sister. He went to a gas station.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Station.
He went to a gas
give me
station,
your watch,
Jesus.
Darling. Give
what
me
did he ask for there? Home. Yes, he asked for...
Gasoline.
He asked for some gasoline.
Yeah.
That's
gasoline.
Right. Thank you,
yeah.
Jesus. He asked for some gasoline and some methadrine.
Yeah, it's methadrine.
He said,
yeah,
fill up the tank with methadrine.
Methadrine
Jesus.
And gasoline he asked for.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
And
thank
then
you.
He drove away.
Where'd he go? Where'd he
oh,
go?
Thank you.
He went to Bakersfield,
he went
Lord.
To Bakersfield. He'd go to Bakersfield.
Lord, he got all the way to Bakersfield. Thank you, Krishna.
Okay, Swami, or whatever your name is, we'll be back with this Christ consciousness racket in just a minute.
No, Mr. Swiney. Krishna consciousness, you see, to our people.
Dream. Yeah.
Thank you, Krishna. He got right there. And what did he do when he got there?
What did he do there, Reverend?
He went to the Hacienda Motel. And he parked his car. And he parked his car and he parked and he locked it to discourage thieves. Thank you, Jesus. To discourage thieves. And he went inside the coffee shop, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Inside the coffee shop. And he opened the air conditioned door and he went inside and he sat down at the table.
What did he order?
Thank you, Jesus.
What did he order?
And he ordered some food, Jesus.
Food, we gotta eat.
More food, he ordered himself a hamburger.
And there's hamburger all over the highway in Mystic, Connecticut.
Yes, Jesus, he added himself a hamburger.
The next 5 minutes of the Firesign Theater's avant-garde religious radio happening, dear friends, is brought to you by the makers of Louis' Wipeout Pumice Hamburgers.
Hamburger.
With onions. And pickles, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Rama. Thank you.
And he ordered some lettuce and a side of tomatoes and some french fries and a big glass of Coca-Cola.
We're hungry, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, we're hungry, oh, my. Yes, sure, we're hungry, my, oh, yeah.
Well, I think it's about time. The way the corn's been growing for the last two or three generations.
Look at that herd of buffalo. They're ready.
Everything's living the Great Spirit's way, in harmony.
He'll be here soon.
The true white brother's coming home. Remember what the Great Spirit said? We did what we were supposed to do and lived according to the plan. White Brother would finish his work in the East and come back to us.
It'll be nice to have the family together again.
Buenos dias, amigo.
Hello, you must be the true White Brother.
Sure, you must be the Indian.
Yes.
Always
very good to
around.
Be here and
then
you
very
good to be back. I've never eaten before and I will eat again because, you know, that's the way to live. We are all eating. That's one thing we're all sharing together. Let's eat together.
Here, give me that. Many of your people say you're not on anybody's food chain. To us,
so
this
I
is
don't
good.
Want to be on
we eat,
good.
We don't get eaten. This is the, this is truth, yes?
This is truth. This is death also. Truth is death.
Do you know anyone who has been eaten?
They are eating something.
Do I know anyone who has been eaten and lived to talk about it?
Eat your vegetables.
Oh,
they
I
are
know
French.
No one who kiss and tell.
You cannot name them. I cannot name them.
Who are they? What am I talking about?
Right, why are you here?
Let's have something to eat. All talk is fruitless. Let's have some fruit. Thank you.
Oh, look at the ecstasy.
Oh, my, that is good. That is good. Oh, Easter is a good time to eat, too, you know.
Why? Give me an egg.
Here, have an egg, dear. Oh, look, that's a little bunny.
Here, why don't you smoke from this Paschal lamb?
Thank you very much.
Very good. Look at that. I've put a mark on your door so they'll pass you over. Don't you worry. They're not going to bother you during dinner.
No, thank you very much. I'm smearing beet juice on my door.
Would you hand me some more of those locusts and groat sauce?
Yes.
Let me turn you on to medium rare, on a mystic chef and guru.
Welcome to my humble chuck wagon. While you are here, we will have everything from soup to nuts. Tonight, we have mushroom soup and betel nuts. Here, have some grubs. Oh, they are very tender baby worms, cooked over incense in holy corn oil. That's oil from the corns of holy men, known in your country as polyunsaturated ghee.
Years and years ago, when the Firesign Theater was just a small little child baby, and we used to be on the air in Los Angeles, California, on a show called Radio Free Oz, we met a lot of very interesting and strange people, and some of the strange and interesting people we met were headed by a guy named Craig, who was a Mohawk Indian.
Craig Carpenter, wasn't
Craig
it?
Carpenter.
Yeah.
And Craig took us out and met us up with a bunch of people from Arizona, who were Hopi Indians.
Yeah, still are.
Yes, many of them still continue in that fine field.
Yeah,
it's a growing field now.
They call it the Hopi persuasion, and some of them were so deeply persuaded they're still Hopis.
Yeah,
it's more of a mesa than a field.
And God bless them. And Peter and David and I, Mr. Proctor was holding down the West Coast at the time.
Yes, I was.
He didn't believe in Indians at the time.
We went out at Christmas, virtually Christmas Eve, and a deep snow on top of the mesas in Arriba,
1966. Arizona. Yep. 1966.
And we participated in a ceremony called the Soyal Ceremony.
And soil ceremony?
Soyal.
Soyal.
And it means it's their solstice ceremony, isn't it?
And we slept in their beds so nicely, and it's too complicated and amazing to even go into. Someday, I suppose.
Do they share their rides?
Phil, remember, we went over because we were recording stuff for Radio Free Oz. We walked into this one place where all of them were sitting around. We had our tape recorder, and we were asking them questions about the Hopi life. Real tentative, but friendly, very friendly. And one of either the women or men, older ones, said,
it's hard to tell the difference.
Do you want to tell them about the flying saucers. Yeah, remember? Right, yeah. Do you want to tell them about the flying saucers? And someone said, no. And we just said, we just moved on because what they were a lot more amazing than flying saucers.
The ostensible reason that Craig took us out there was because he felt he had been told by certain elders of this particular village in Hopi that there was a message that needed to get out. And by God, Craig knew these guys with a radio show.
That's right.
And who better to put out a message?
Well, here's
we should mention too that David's kids Allison and Devin were with us at that time in the old
Volkswagen.
We were
sleeping in the van, not in the beds. And here's the amazing thing: at the moment when the guys came up out of the ground, so to speak, you were there. I was up above this on a mesa in the middle of the night, and the whole vault of heaven rang. There was a great chime. But something like it.
And it was a full moon and 4 feet of snow.
Yeah.
I remember driving there, Craig would say, we got to watch out for our enemy, Mr. Johnson. Remember, this is Mr. Johnson. And then
the man with the cane.
Man with the cane. And we're at the bottom of the mesa, and we see this man with the cane. He says, that's Mr. Johnson. And the guy's walking in the deep snow. We drive all the way up, all the way to the top of the mesa, and there's Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
How did he get there?
Well, before we run out of time, let's bring a new message from the elders of the Hopi Nation in Oribe, Arizona. Wind, please. Thank you. You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour.
Now you must go back and tell the people that
this is the hour.
And there are things to be considered.
Where are you living?
What are you doing?
What are your relationships?
Where is your water?
Know your garden.
It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other and do not look outside yourself for the leader.
This could be a good time.
There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid.
They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly.
Know that the river has its destination.
The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above the water.
See who is in there with you and celebrate.
At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally.
Least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt.
Hey, the time of the lone wolf is over.
Gather yourselves.
Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary.
All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
We are the ones.
We've been waiting for.
That's us.
This is a message, by the way, that we were given from the elders of the Hopi Nation in Oriabi, Arizona, which is the great traditional center of the Hopi Nation, which, according to tradition, has been there for almost 6,000 years.
Yeah.
Six big ones.
Merry Christmas to
everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We're off to various parts of...
And a happy new year, too.
And it's Hanukkah right at the moment, so yes, let's say hello, 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 hello.
And the amazing thing is that in this world, we have this ability to communicate by satellite.
Once in the Jurassic, about 150 million years ago, the great Sun Buddha in this corner of the infinite void gave a great discourse to all the assembled elements and energies, to the standing beings, the walking beings, the flying beings, and the sitting beings, even grasses, to the number of 13 billion. Each one born from a seed were assembled there. A discourse concerning enlightenment on the planet Earth.
In some future time, there will be a continent called America. It will have great centers of power called such as Pyramid Lake, Walden Pond, Mount Rainier, Big Sur, Everglades, and so forth. And powerful nerves and channels such as Columbia River, Mississippi River, and Grand Canyon. The human race in that era will get into troubles all over its head and practically wreck everything in spite of its own strong, intelligent Buddha nature.
The twisting strata of the great mountains and the pulsing of great volcanoes are my love burning deep in the earth. My obstinate companion is schist and basalt and granite to be mountains, to bring down the rain. In that future American era, I shall enter a new form to cure the world of loveless knowledge that seeks with blind hunger and mindless rage, eating food that will not fill it. And he showed himself in his true form of Smokey the Bear, a handsome, smoky-colored brown bear standing on his hind legs, showing that he is aroused and watchful, bearing in his right paw the shovel that digs to the truth beneath appearances, cuts the roots of useless attachments, and flings damp sand on the fires of greed and war. His left paw in the mudra of comradely display, indicating that all creatures have the full right to live to their limits, and that deer, rabbits, chipmunks, snakes, dandelions, and lizards all grow in the realm of the Dharma. Wearing the blue work overall symbolic of slaves and laborers, the countless men oppressed by a civilization that claims to save but only destroys.
Wearing the broad-brimmed hat of the West, symbolic of the forces that guard the wilderness, which is the natural state of the Dharma and the true path of man on earth. All true paths lead through mountains.
With a halo of smoke and flame behind, the forest fires of the Kali Yuga, fires caused by the stupidity of those who think things can be gained and lost, whereas in truth all is contained, vast and free, in the blue sky and green earth of one mind.
Round-bellied to show his kind nature, and that the great earth has food enough for everyone who loves her and trusts her.
Trampling underfoot wasteful freeways and needless suburbs, smashing the worms of capitalism and totalitarianism.
Indicating the task His followers becoming free of cars, houses, canned food, universities, and shoes, master the three mysteries of their own body, speech, and mind, and fearlessly chop down the rotten trees and prune out the sick limbs of this country, America, and then burn the leftover trash.
Wrathful but calm, austere but comic, Smokey the Bear will illuminate those who would help him. But for those who would hinder or slander him, he will put them out.
Thus his great mantra, I dedicate myself to the universal diamond, be this raging fury destroyed.
And he will protect those who love woods and rivers, gods and animals, hobos and madmen, prisoners and sick people, musicians, playful women and hopeful children.
And if anyone is threatened by advertising air pollution or the police, they should chant Smokey the Bear's war spell. Drown their butts! Crush their butts! Drown their butts! Crush their butts!
And Smokey the Bear will surely appear to put the enemy out with his Vajra shovel.
Now those who recite this sutra and then try to put it in practice will accumulate merit as countless as the sands of Arizona and Nevada.
Will help save the planet Earth from total oil slick.
Will enter the age of harmony of man and nature.
Will win the tender love and caresses of men, women, and beasts.
Will always have ripe blackberries to eat and a sunny spot under a pine tree to sit at.
And in the end, will win highest, perfect enlightenment.
Thus have we heard.
And
well, let's do
got
that.
It here. Sure. Yeah. Will you play the interviewer, David, since you're right next to me here? And I'll play the Roshi. This interview took place on May 21st. I was the interviewer, and the Roshi is the Zen Roshi, Joshu Sasaki, whose Zen center and for whose activities and inspiration and teaching we are now raising money. And David will play the interviewer, and I will play the Roshi.
Right. Roshi. Many people today are concerned because things look so ugly, bad air, much crowded. They are looking for paradise. They want the world to be a paradise. Is there a paradise in Zen?
It is possible to say that the object of Zen, the aim of Zen, is to construct a paradise, to find a paradise, and to make a paradise.
How is Zen a better way of building or making a paradise than more traditional political means? By political, I mean action by government or social groups.
I'm not a scholar of politics and not able to comment on the present approach towards what the government is doing or what social, political, or economic means are being used to find this type of paradise. It's difficult for me to comment on what this type of paradise is. I will talk specifically on the Zen way to construct paradise. In order to construct a house, a beautiful house, you need a very beautiful piece of board. It must be shaved beautifully and prepared for use in the house. In such a case, you need a tool. A plane with a very sharp edge. But just bringing together a great number of highly specialized good tools will not build you a good house. You need an exceptionally fine carpenter, a woodworker who has trained for many years, who has honed his own skills to perfection. And this carpenter, using the fine tools, will help you build a beautiful house.
Found some nails. Let me nail in those blankets. Don't want them blown off in the wind.
Did you find a hammer, too?
Anything strong enough and heavy enough to pound a nail is a hammer.
Now the question is, does Zen make fine carpenters? Is Zen the tool or the carpenter?
Some 7-year-olds outside the plate glass window are trying to liberate my bicycle. It is too securely locked to a leg of a no parking sign garnished with metered parking and the meters as well. They try the lamp and go see if some 8-year-old friend has been gifted with a screwdriver.
I must tell you that the object, the aim of Zen, is also to build the fine tool itself. To also build up the man to use that fine tool. But that is not enough.
Not enough?
No, you also need a plan.
And stop in amazement before a great deconstructed architectural makeover.
Frank Gehry has ruined my building.
But that is not enough. Here we have a beautiful house using the utmost in skills and the finest tools and according to a very fine plan. But if the house was built in the path of typhoons, in the epicenter of earthquakes, or in the path of flood waves, then in one instant the house will disappear. To avoid this, you could build the house on top of a mountain without any roads leading to the place so that no one could get there. But paradise is a place where children can go. Old people can go, men can go, and women can go, sick can go, and also the healthy can go. It must be a place where everyone can go. So if the entrance fee to paradise is 100 yen, then to the people who cannot pay the 100 yen entrance fee, that place is not paradise. So the question is, what do we call a paradise?
Live in the future. Yes, live in the future now. It's right around the corner. Yes, in fact, it's come right here. So beautiful.
This area.
The Future Fair. A fair for all and no fair to anybody.
So we must reverse the question. I'd like to ask you, what are you calling paradise?
Well, paradise is being true self. Paradise is not, to me, a place, not a thing, not a being, but no worry. True self is when you don't worry.
That's right.
Then if paradise is to be true self, can Zen help me to be my true self? Can Zen help me be in paradise?
True self is paradise. Paradise without true self is not paradise. Since you have come here to this Zen center and have sat in Zazen or meditation for a long period, I feel that you are sincerely able to discern the importance here, that without revealing the true self, there is absolutely no possibility of experiencing paradise. No, so one facet of Zen, of course, is to be able to manifest your true self, which in turn is the manifestation of paradise. The Zen attitude, or the way we look at human beings in terms of Zen, is that human beings are all attempting to manifest their true natures. Their true selves. But there are many, many people who do not think that way, and so they are not able to experience paradise or manifest their true nature.
Let us suppose that everyone was studying Zen. Would the world change? Would we be brought closer to paradise?
Now, Mark, let's go to Landfill, California, where the beautiful rock sand pavement, dark star of the Mandatory Entertainment Corps, awaits to talk to you.
I am unbelievably honored to be here at remote Indio Perdido Lake near the bank of the lusty Colorado River, where an earth-moving miracle is taking place as far as the eye can see.
What a piece of ash.
Yes, Mark. This is Panorama Land 2000, where all of civilization is being gathered together on a desert-contoured, climate-conditioned, and completely re-greened landfill. Wherever you stand, sit or lie in Panorama Land 2000, there will always be something new. As the nation cleans its drawers of the 20th century in preparation for the millennial year of century 2000, it is fitting that you should return on the heels of the century. Naturally, it will be exciting to hear what you have to tell, and even more exciting to show your own story here as an example to others. Congratulations from Panorama Land 2000.
A worldwide production of the Central 2000 Corporation and Walter Dednow Enterprises.
All rights removed.
When human beings are able to manifest their true nature, they no longer even have to think about paradise. It is no longer a concern.
What about the person who says he's not interested in Zen because it's a religion? He's only interested, he says, in being healthy and wants to know if Zen is like health foods.
If a man asks this question, is Zen like health foods? Then it is already indicative that he is interested in Zen. Yes, Zen is like health foods. All religion should be like health food. What are caterpillars eating? What do they eat to exist?
Leaves, I think.
To the caterpillar, the leaves are their health food.
I get Curly under my management and take him and Stinky with me. The first thing I do is start out after some publicity. And boy, do those reporters eat it up. Front page with pictures. Pictures of Curly, pictures of Stinky, pictures of me. Pictures of my client dancing on a leaf, curling around the mayor's finger, climbing up a pretty model's leg, and headlines. Headlines like this in the Times.
Swing caterpillar sways to strains of Yes, Sir, That's My Baby. Fred Astaire of Insect World demonstrates almost human sense of rhythm.
The Post. Curly in custody of Stinky, young Svengali of caterpillars. The Herald Tribune.
Insect phenomenon learned to truck in truck garden manager reverse.
The World Telegram.
The Curly Crawl becomes new national dance sensation.
The Daily News. Bug cuts rug. story on page 2.
What do foxes eat to exist?
Foxes, rabbits, chickens.
So do the foxes, rabbits, and probably fowl are their health food. What do gophers eat?
Gophers? Vegetable roots.
So vegetable roots to them must be their health foods. How about pigs?
Pigs eat garbage.
How about little birds?
Little seeds.
So do the birds. Seeds must be their health foods.
And I'm down to seeds and stems again, too.
How about the cows?
Cows eat grass.
So the grass is their health food. What do you think is a health food for human beings?
When you can't stand the pace in the big rolling grace, come on in where it's safe, where the menu is trade. There's a smell in the air that reminds you of hair. You've got something to get, and it looks like your pet.
Aren't you hungry?
First we take some rat parts and fry them up real nice. Then we skin the kitties, barbecue the mice.
Guts in a cup, yum! Mouse on a stick, wow!
French fried fleas and beer battered tits.
Red in a buck.
We buy what you want.
Red in a buck.
We buy what you want.
Red in a buck.
We buy what you want.
Everything they eat.
That's right. For human beings, there are many religions. Every religion to them must be a health food. But if human beings only ate potatoes to exist, what would happen?
They'd get sick.
If I took vitamin C's only, what would happen to me?
You'd die.
Well, we must think that all foods are good for us. But if we eat only one food, then we become ill. In other words, we cannot become bound to one food. If you think only one religion is the only food for yourself, then you may become ill.
But if you eat only Zen, won't you become ill?
Zen foods. It says on the truck outside, what can be seen through the bakery door, 3rd Avenue and 24th, where it is lunchtime Saturday. The truck is blocked. A young man with a portfolio from the art school next block. He walks very proud, straight, walked, disappeared behind truck where he can see, I can't. Two boys making a fire in a can in a vacant lot across the avenue. Extends the depth of one building, but was a half block of tenements a year gone, half the way to 25th. The wood was wet, was set before the truck came in and parked and smoked. No cherries here, no Mickey's there. It's wet. I wonder what there might be in that truck. Zen foods. Bean sprouts and rice, all of Chinatown's fowl and fish and vegetable. Zen foods, no Mickey's.
That's why we Zen priests eat everything. We Zen priests can go to a Christian church and make the sign of the cross. And we will go to another church and chant sutras. We are free people. We think that all this food is good for us.
In the world, there is a great amount of dissatisfaction and confusion. Why don't people manifest their true selves? If it is indeed paradise, why don't people do it all the time?
That's a very good question. If we are born as a caterpillar, then we eat only food that is suited to a caterpillar. The life of a caterpillar is a very simple one, because there's no avarice and greed to manifest the self in any other way, just to eat the food that the caterpillar knows it can well exist upon. It's a very simple existence.
Mrs. Roosevelt writes about it in her column, My Day.
It is not often that a creature smaller than one's little finger can completely captivate the imagination of millions. Yet such is the remarkable truth about the caterpillar named Curly. And only today I was telling the president...
But when we get to the badger, we find that he eats all different kinds of foods. He is much smarter. He has more greed. But even the badger eats only within certain limitations. In the past, I think the dog also existed with a limited selection of food. Dogs these days are given all types of foods by human beings, so they will turn their noses up at what they would have instinctively eaten before. 50 years ago, when I was a child in Japan, I was led to believe that dogs bore only one litter a year. These days, dogs are fed such nutritious types of foods that they are breeding 2 litters a year. The same is true of humans, and this causes a great deal of confusion and problems. Human beings are no longer restricted to eating only certain types of food or living in certain types of environments.
So now that man can live under difficult and complicated situations, he himself becomes more difficult, complicated, and confused.
Human beings have utilized science so they can eat special kinds of food, through canning processes and freezing. They eat foods in the wintertime that grow in the summertime. But there is a dualistic nature here in man, not only to satisfy hunger, but to experience enlightenment. So in Zen we say, since human beings are born as animals, as biological beings, they have instinctive needs, instinctive desires. On the other hand, there is a desire in man as a human being to truly manifest his true nature.
So you must both eat and be enlightened.
We eat, and we sleep, and we work, and then we sleep again. More simply stated, life is Zen. To seek another religion besides life is not right.
Is it enough that every human being is enlightened? Is that enough?
Yes. We human beings have all been born as true self. But due to improper education, we have become one-sided in our thinking processes, and we are not able to manifest our true selves. Zen is the practice to truly polish the true self, to polish your brain functions to manifest your true self. If the human brain were functioning properly, we would not be suffering from smog problems and the death of people, human beings, because of these problems. I am not a politician, and I don't like to delve into that area. I'm a religious man. But on the matter of wars, such wars are caused by improper functioning of the human brains. The proper thinking processes should be the property of everyone in this world. Culture should not function so that this type of thinking process is considered good for some and bad for others.
Is there a little secret for people who are very worried and do not believe they can be their true selves? Is there a secret that can make them believe that they can?
Yes, there is.
What is it?
It is to laugh.
In laughing, the window opens.
When you are laughing, you are truly manifesting your true self. I beseech you to laugh every morning. If you laugh every morning, your paradise will appear.
Mr. Ishakwa.
Mr. Austin.
Yes.
40 years ago, you told an interviewer, if you can laugh at something, it has no power over you. You still believe that?
Yes, because it just sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.